I'd like to begin by asking you a few questions about how this whole mess got started. Do you remember seeing him for the first time?
Yeah. You guys here on vacation?
Certainly are.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Michelle, how's it going?
Pretty good. How's it going with you?
Pretty good.
Good.
Did you have a nice birthday?
I did have a nice birthday. Thank you for asking.
All right, Michelle, well, happy birthday from The Affair.
Oh, thank you. That's a good place to get a birthday wish from.
This is The Affair on West Coast Project. My name is Mike.
And I'm Michelle.
And how old are you now, Michelle? Do you want to say?
Oh, I don't care. I'm 51.
All right. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So what'd you think of this episode, Michelle, 307?
You know, I am really struggling with this episode. I'm going back and forth. I'm waffling. I thought it was acted really well. But I was so put off by so many things. I guess I just loved to hate it, right? There were so many things that I hated, but I really enjoyed watching it.
You enjoyed hating it?
Yeah, I kind of did. Is that bad?
Are you officially friends now with Jennifer Esposito, Michelle?
No.
Coffee
I'm
with
not.
Her at the choo-choo?
I would love to be, but I am not.
All right, Michelle, I got questions for you because you're a woman.
Oh, no.
Why does Helen dote on Noah so? Why is she so into him? Can she not find what she found in him with other people?
That is a great question. And part of that is really what I'm struggling with. Because I saw somebody, and I wish I could remember who, but they put up on Twitter, you know, we've all been Helen at some point. And I think we have, you know, and it's such a dismal kind of, it's not a good feeling to have that kind of, if it's love, to have that kind of love for somebody and not have it reciprocated. I'm not convinced it's love. I don't know if it's some type of just problem with letting go.
Yeah, it's not love. It's more complicated for her. I think it's safety for her. It's like being devoted to an unrequited love situation is like a sneaky, a clever way of ensuring that you don't end up in a relationship at all. And if you do that, then you don't have to suffer the realities that a real relationship has.
Well, I would agree with you if this were the relationship she were having with Vic or with somebody else. But the fact that it's somebody that she did have this 20-something year, you know, relationship with,
Yeah, but it's a dodge of the next one. It's the dodge of the work she needs to go through to make the next one happen.
I don't think so. I don't think that's what that is with her. I think that there's something that's like got her hooked and she can't break free of that hook. I don't know if it's love, which you don't think it is, and I tend to think it might not be, or if it's some kind of, you know, I think a lot of us have like issues from our past that we're attracted to certain people who have their own issues. And I'm just really seeing that she can't let go of that for some reason that maybe they haven't told us yet. I hope they tell us though, because it's painful. I mean, was it not painful to watch her?
Yeah, but I want to know why. And you can't just say what you said and then not follow through with the real reason. I think she's blocking herself. It's protection from going into the next stage of her life.
Yeah, like I said, that just didn't really ring true to me, because if it were with someone else, I could understand that. If it were with somebody new or somebody that she hadn't had this long, long relationship with, I could completely get on board with that. But the fact that this is somebody, I mean,
it's this not, is not it's just, not who it's not it is. It's her. It's not Noah or Vic.
I don't
it's her.
So I don't think so, because why would she? How can it be her? It's her with him.
No. It's her refusing to move past Noah. It's Helen. It's Helen to Helen. It's not Helen to any of those other two guys.
I don't know. I don't know if that's it. Why, though?
Because she's afraid to face the. She's afraid to move on.
Why?
It's protecting her from getting into another relationship.
Do you really think that's
because
all
if you
that
don't,
is?
Yeah, if you don't take that step into the next relationship, you don't have to suffer the realities of all the commitment, the responsibilities, all the reality of it. You can just pine for the old person that will never happen.
But she wants it with Noah. It's not like she is afraid of commitment. Someone who's been married that many years is not a commitment phobe.
Yeah, but why does she want it with Noah?
You know, that I do not know.
That's what I'm saying. You can't just say you don't know. I don't know, but she wants Noah. That's the point. She wants a relationship with a guy that's no good for her because she's afraid to move on into the next one.
Well, geez. I mean, how many of those are there out there? Pick another one.
Well, a lot.
Because
that's what people do. That's what I'm saying. I think that's the underlying psychology of Helen.
Well, that's interesting. And you certainly, you know, might be right. It's not what I feel about her. I feel like there's
nothing wrong with Vic. There's nothing wrong with she lives in frickin' Brooklyn where there's a million people around. There's not the lack of guys. It's not the lack of beauty. It's not the lack of, you know, she's not got major life problems. She's just afraid. She's afraid to move forward.
Well, right. But see, she is surrounded. She's not lonely. Somebody said she's not lonely. She is surrounded by, I mean, by almost too much, almost like chaos. There's like so much family and love and everything around her that it's almost chaotic. How...
Yeah, you're kind of proving my point, though, by saying this. There's no other reason other than herself, internally to herself.
I don't know, Mike. I think she just might not be able to let go of her love for him. I think
that's
that
bullshit,
sometimes...
Though.
Well, I mean, I don't think so.
There's no reason to love Noah anymore, and there's no reason not to move into a nice guy like Vic or the next guy down around the corner.
Well, love is so reasonable, isn't it? I mean,
well,
you know,
I mean,
it's just always, it's thought out in our head, right? It's always what's in our best interest. It's not just what the heart wants for whatever reason.
Well, people do these sunken psychological things, though, that they don't even realize they're doing themselves. They talk themselves into these things. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I think that's why Helen is doing this. It's an escape for her.
I think maybe if she could get him, you know, get him to want her back. I mean, do you think she would want him still?
No, that doesn't happen. People don't want you back. Relationships move on. It's relentless.
No, that's not true, Mike.
That is true.
It is not true.
Do you think Noah's going to want her back?
I don't have any idea. He doesn't seem like he does.
No, Michelle, he uses her for when he needs shit. He needs medicine. He needs a place to stay. He needs.
But what about Cole and Allison?
Same
what
shit.
What about Allison and Noah?
Same. It's neat. It's like you. None of them are ever going to get back. Nicole's better with Louisa, and Helen's better with next guy down the road. It might not
Cole
be Vic.
Cole is not going to stay with Louisa, I don't think. I think they're doomed. And
that doesn't mean that it's the right thing for him to do to go back to Allison.
No, but would you be surprised if that's how it ended up?
No, but that doesn't mean it's the right thing. This is a drama. This is like they force feed us you know, extra drama, super drama.
No, but the right thing for who? For you or for him? Oh,
in
or
life,
for her?
In life, the person, if Cole is a real person, he should probably try to make it work with Louisa. He should not go back to Allison. And Helen should not go back to Noah.
No, Helen should certainly. I mean, I wouldn't say that somebody should never go back with somebody. But I will say that the way she's acting in this is... It was really a painful episode for me to watch. And I know it's just TV, but it was hard to watch her.
All right, Michelle, I'm going to make this struggle. Podcast just as hard.
I wish you wouldn't. I'm tired already.
All right, start. Let's start. Part one, Helen.
Okay.
She's driving the big lug home to Cobble Hill, and he admits he needs help.
Yep.
Now, where's Martin? What happened to poor Martin in this whole transaction?
Well, remember, Martin had went back home. He went back home in the middle of the night. Yeah, he had driven up there. That's where he was going. He was escaping up there or was driven up there, whatever. And he left because he promised Helen, remember, the night before, he promised her that he'd go to school the next day after Noah had that conversation with him.
Yeah, I know. So, it's just kind of funny that there's no mention or sign of Martin in any of this drama.
Well, that's good, I guess.
She makes Helen makes Noah comfy at home and then calls Nina. And that room she was putting him in, old Vic's room, needs some posters, Michelle.
Yeah. We could do with some, you know, artwork.
Not even a cactus. I'll make it work, she says. I'll handle it.
That was so bad.
So Noah's moping in the shower. And for some damn reason, Helen thinks he's dehydrated. He's damn overhydrated. He's walking in the water. He's in the rain. He's in the shower. Why would you think he's dehydrated?
Well, you're walking in water doesn't hydrate you, really. I guess she thinks he needs something to drink for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know why she said that. Yeah. But she's mothering him. What was that about?
Right. She's treating him like a little boy.
I mean, why is she drying him off?
And walking in on him in the bathroom and... Yeah, she's in part one here, she's treating him like a little boy, and in part two, she's like a devilish temptress.
Is that how you saw her in the second part?
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me why.
She's dressed all sexy, and she's all...
Oh my God, this is exactly what my husband said. I did not see it that way at all.
Want some candy, big boy? She's like teasing him with the Vicodins. She's got the... Whatever she was wearing, some sort of sweater or gown, off her shoulder. Yeah, yeah. She's like the temptress. Yeah.
Well, Mike was pointing that out to me, my husband, and I did not see it that way. I saw in her version that she was stressed and soft, you know, and kind of insecure and didn't really know what to do. And then in Noah's version, I saw her as the shrew and, like, you know, her hair's pulled back and she's like this school marm or something.
She was the shrew. She was the devilish temptress shrew. She was in charge in part two and she was like mama in part one.
Yeah. I don't know. In part two, I felt like she was a whole lot more flippant and mocking than the temptress. But that's so funny that both of y'all...
She was much less of a caretaker in part two. I think that's the point.
Okay.
Anyway, he's in the shower and he throws her out of the bathroom. Again, he's like pushing her away even when she's trying to help him.
Who wants somebody to dry them off?
Yeah, I guess that's probably reasonable.
That's invasive to anybody, I would think.
All right, Vic shows up. He's ready for action and updates, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
She just says he's downstairs, and Vic looks at her in disbelief. So, Michelle, yep. What would you do? What would you do if you were Helen? You got an ex-husband. He's dehydrated, sitting in the shower. And your new husband or your new boyfriend comes home. What would you do?
Well, I would not have left him there. I'll say that. I can totally understand her not leaving him in the pond at his dad's house or whatever that body of water was. Bringing him home, I think, was a stretch. And I think if she were going to do that, if it were me, I would certainly call the the new guy, the guy that's there now, and say, look, this is what I'd like to do. Do you have any problem with that? It would not be something that I would spring on him. And I thought Vic's reason for not wanting him there was lame. You know, somebody tried to kill him. We don't know who it is or whatever. I didn't even believe that. He doesn't want him there. And I don't blame him.
So if she does that, Vic says, nope, don't bring him home.
Yeah.
Take him to his sister's or get his sister to pick him up.
That's what I would do. She knows where his sister lives. And if the guy that I were, you know, bringing him, look, in my view, if someone's out of your house and someone else is in your house, then that's who your devotion has to belong to. This is just my personal opinion. I still wouldn't have left him there, but I would have.
Well, you can't get a hold of Nina. I mean, what if it really happened that way? Can't get a hold of Nina.
Then I would call home and say, hey, Vic, you know, I'm really feel like I'm put in this situation.
Nope,
I wouldn't
don't
leave.
Bring him here. Don't bring him here. Whatever you do.
Okay, well, then can you give me some idea of where I need to take him? Because
just don't bring him here.
Well, I wouldn't be with somebody who was like that, first of all. But, you know, I wouldn't leave a dog up there in that water like that. So I would have to do something. And, you know, Vic could either help me figure out what to do or he could relent a little bit. I thought he was really quick. But I mean, but why was she lying to him? I mean, that's the part, you know, it's not the fact that Noah was there. It's the fact that she was lying to him. I thought that was so horrible. Just say, look, I had to bring him here. I had nowhere to take him. And he's here and he's downstairs and we'll lock the door and that's how it is. But I couldn't leave him there to die. I don't know. What would you do?
Well, I'd get him out of the water or the pond for one thing, but I don't think I'd bring him home.
You wouldn't?
I'd say, you know, there's shelters, you know, whatever. Go into the mall, walk into a warm, you got to figure it out. You're an adult.
Yeah, but
by bringing
him
home, she fucks up everything she has with Vic. I think Vic was probably had the ground to stand on. He was right. He was mean about it and stern about it, but he's, you know, he's at his limit there. This is not the first event with Helen and Noah.
No. And like I said, I don't think he had a right, so to speak, to be so angry about her bringing him there, because I don't think, you know, that's a lie. I do think she wanted to bring him there. She said she wanted him to bring him there. And we see Nina calling her and she didn't even answer the phone. She wants him there. And she wants him there. She tells Vic she's going to get him out of there, and she doesn't. And she's lying to him. So
right.
I don't
she
blame
wants
him for
him there.
Like that.
That's what Vic's problem is. He knows right. that she's using the spo. He's a puppy dog. I can't leave him out alone in the wild. She wants him there, and he knows it. That's the problem.
Right. I mean, I couldn't leave somebody out there like that. But that would not be where my, you know, allegiance was to that person, other than just as an emergency help kind of thing. And then I would absolutely get a hold of somebody and get them out of the house, like I told Vic I would do, because that's what you do. You do what you say you're
going to
do.
I don't think you'd bring them into the house in the first place.
I wouldn't, except as a last resort. You're correct. It would be a very last resort. Well, I mean, like I said, if there was nowhere else to take him, I wouldn't leave him.
No, you don't leave him, but you take him to the mall where it's like you can go inside and be warm.
You don't take a drug addict to the mall.
Yeah,
I mean,
you just don't take him home. Take him to the hospital, emergency room.
Yeah,
give him $100 and say, here's, take him to the Greyhound station. Go wherever you want. He can't come home.
I don't know.
You're letting a rattlesnake into the home. You can't do it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you about that. And I think it's really bad, but I wouldn't say what I can't say what I would do, but I can say that I would not do it with deception. I would not have done that.
No, I mean, she made it worse by that.
Right.
And it gets worse. Like she asks Vic to give him the once over because he's a doctor. So while he's doing that, Noah gives him shit, calling him Dr. Ooh La La.
Wasn't that funny?
He just wants Vicodin. And he's taking 10 pills of, 7.5 milligrams each a day?
Yeah. Yeah, he starts out saying 6 and then he goes maybe 10 right there. That is really bad.
That's like one every hour of your waking hours.
Pretty much.
I don't even know the medical quantity that is. It just sounds like a lot. 10.
Yeah, I don't honestly know a whole lot about that, but I do know that is a lot to take. It's a lot, even for, well, maybe especially for chronic pain. That's a that's a lot of Vicodin.
So Vic sharpies his neck and prescribes rehab.
You know, that's actually what you do in a situation like that. You mark the area that's turned to make sure it's not growing, to make sure it's shrinking. Isn't that funny? Something so simple.
Seems smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I noticed this in the second half. I'm not sure if it was in the first half, but Noah's wearing his Williams College t-shirt.
Oh, I did not notice that. Good catch.
Might have only in the second half, but that's where I saw it, so I put it, put it down. But Michelle Noah appears to be a full-blown junkie at this point. He's, I don't know, he's acting like a junkie. He seems to be seeing things that aren't there, hallucinating.
Yeah, I was reading a little bit on that because of, you know, Noah getting in the car accident and then having this visual hallucination of himself and all that. And evidently, at least people say that if you are strung out on opioids like that, that you can have auditory and visual hallucinations. And I didn't know that.
Well, honestly, he's also doing, he's wrecking every relationship he has just to get more drugs. Like, he's trampling every good deed everybody's doing for him just to get more drugs.
Well, that's exactly what drug addicts do.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. More than, yeah. That's, so it's more than just he's having hallucinations. He's acting like a junkie.
Oh, sure, sure. And why does he think Vic's going to, you know, like, write him this prescription?
Well, I don't think junkies make reasonable requests. I think they make requests that they want, no matter how stupid they are. They steal stuff from their families and, you know, hurt people.
Well, the drug becomes their love and their passion. And that's what really, on top of everything else, that's what really disturbs me with this episode. It felt like Helen was kind of mixing the drug and her, you know what I mean? Like, you know, shaking the pill bottle at him and, you know, being kind of like the supply for this to get him to want her. That is disturbing, right?
Well, she's like, I don't have exactly what you want, but I've got some other stuff that you might like. It's the it's, you know, some other thing that Martin had for some other. She's she's doing whatever she can to hold on to him.
Right, this Tylenol with codeine and Ambien. It's like some cocktail of drug that she liked, I think she said. And, I mean, that's disturbing. Anyway.
She just pulled back and forth like a rag doll between these two dudes. And on top of all that, Michelle, the parole officer, is looking for him.
Yep, and Noah won't answer the phone. You have to answer the phone. That's not what you do. You don't not answer.
Yeah, you might not answer it if you're wasted, though.
Yeah, but you have to answer. You've got to keep in touch with your parole officer.
I don't know. It seems like they got off the hook on that by having Helen answer the phone.
Yeah, Mike said he didn't think that was very, very true to life. No, they're not just like, oh, okay, I know he's supposed to be here, but he's not there, so just bring him in whenever. You
can't just tell him he's asleep.
I don't know.
I'm a little tired. I'll come in Monday. Okay. Yeah. See you Monday.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right. Helen asks him, what's going on with you? And Noah just says, I'm tired and I need to sleep, but it feels nice to be here. He's just using her, Michelle.
Why would he say that? You know, because
he's manipulating
the whole time,
her.
Oh, I hate that, though. And she's like tucking him in. I just couldn't get over that.
You're really on the slippery slope. That's what you would do. You bring him home and he's like, oh, it feels nice to be here. Wouldn't you be kind of sucked in by that?
No.
Oh, now you're getting tough.
No, maybe I might be sucked in, but I would not allow myself to be sucked in. I might feel something, but I would not act on the feeling if that were to happen. And I just, I was so put off by her doting on him. I just, it was troublesome to watch.
So you'd let him lay on the bed, but no blankets.
Okay.
So he falls asleep. She takes his phone and calls Santos back.
He hears the kids.
The kids.
Right? And they're not there. He points that out to her. And that is horrifying. Now, look, if you have somebody who is having auditory and visual hallucinations, that is a dangerous situation. So Vic is right. I mean, you know, about that part of it. And you do not have that around your kids. I don't care if it is their father. I don't care who it is. That is dangerous. And he told her right then, he goes, it's nice hearing the kids again. Are they coming down? And she goes, well, they're at school. They're not here. You know, you didn't hear them essentially. That was that stuff's scary, I think.
So, if you're weren't just a woman with a guy, an ex-relationship guy, what if the guy saved your bacon by going to jail for you for 3 years? How would that affect what you would do?
Good question.
Because that's a part of this for Helm.
That is, and we didn't even talk about that. And I think that might, and I honestly didn't even think about that. I think that might have a lot to do with what she's willing to do for him. And I think at the end of this, when she's saying, I forgive you, that was confusing a little bit to me, but yeah, I think you're right. Maybe
I think she kind of does that with this whole Santos thing. She doesn't let she barricades Noah off from Santos to protect him. Because if he's wasted, that's probably not part of his parole. That's probably a violation of his parole.
Yeah, but he takes those pills. I mean, Santos knows it.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I
bet if he's drunk, I bet if he's even drunk and his voice is slurry, I bet that's a violation of his parole.
It very well could be.
So she protects, she stops that from happening, kind of like what he did. I know it's not exactly, but, you know, she's stepping up for him like he's stepping up for her.
Sure, he protected her from the law, and she's protecting him from the law, essentially.
All right, Whitney comes home looking for a tent. She wants to go right into the basement and get the tent, and Helm blocks her from going down there.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Furcat are going to some concert.
Oh, geez.
And before anything happens, we find Noah out on the street wrestling and fighting with Furcat.
Or not fighting, just getting
his ass beat.
Yeah, just getting like bitch slapped by Furcat.
By Furcat, an artist. Now that is not good. It's not a good look if you're a dude. Getting bitch slapped by a guy named Furcat, the artist.
Right? Right? The nude artist? I don't know. That was so odd and so bad. And can you possibly put yourself in Noah's position, going back to his old home where his children are, and some guy your own age who's dating your daughter who comes up to you and says, I'm her lover. I mean, and then, you know, won't let you in.
He's literally a boss lover.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's like he's cuckolded twice. First by Vic, then by his daughter's boyfriend. Both of which guys are like his age.
That is so bad. That was so, so bad.
All right, so later on, Noah looks like he could be like ground zero for case one of The Walking Dead. He looks like a zombie.
Yeah, he really does.
He's all pale. He doesn't remember fighting or anything. Whitney and Helen are arguing about Furcat's intentions. So, Michelle, what would you do with a Furcat in your life? Have you ever had a Furcat with any of your daughters?
Absolutely not.
What would you do if you did?
Well, I would like to think that my daughters have more common sense than that kind of thing.
That's not the question.
Well, I can't possibly imagine it, honestly. I just cannot imagine. There's a whole lot of this about how the children act and behave, and we've talked about it a little bit, like, you know, as soon as they turn a certain age, they seem on this self-destructive path or whatever. That's hard for me to even imagine, this disrespect and the way these kids are acting and acting toward their parents and stuff like that. I mean, I understand it kind of, but I haven't been in that kind of, thank God, dysfunction. And so I don't know. I mean, what would you do?
I don't know. It's tricky because you gotta support your kids and you gotta let them be adults. I mean, how old is Whitney? 19?
No, she's 22. She says here, so. Because Juniper, Furcat's daughter, is 24 and 2 years older than Whitney. So
you can't do much. You gotta support them, but I maybe would offer some advice or wedge my way into offering some advice, some unwanted advice probably.
Well, Furcat is using her. There's zero doubt about that. Zero.
Michelle, I can't sit here and let you down talk of her cat. All right. Whitney yeah. says to Helen, "Why do you hate yourself? I used to think Dad was the crazy one. Now I realize it's you." What do you think about that, Michelle?
That was very painful. And it was... You know, to see Helen stand there and have to listen to at least her daughter's version of, and certainly what many of us think in part, at least, of the truth, was painful. I mean, Whitney pitching her fit is just like, you know, Whitney pitching her fit. But then when she goes, "What do you think's going to happen, Mom?" That was a great question, you know. Do you think he's just going to come back and we're just supposed to forgive him for everything and go on with life? And that was a great question. You know, I mean, you can have hiccups in your relationship, and you can have, you know, breaks and problems and things that you can kind of patch back together and move forward and choose not to dwell on, I think. But how do you come back from that?
Well, I'm not going to stand up and defend Noah, but there is a truth that Whitney is being held back from, and that is that Noah stood up for Helen. She has no idea he did that. She just thinks he's an ass, selfishly doing whatever he wants at the cost to all the people around him.
Yeah, I still don't think he did that for Helen. I still think he did that for Allison.
Well, maybe, but still, Whitney doesn't know that. And Whitney's his daughter, and Whitney's not having access to that truth has really affected the way she thinks of her dad.
Absolutely. But that's not what Furcat said to Noah in the next scene. He brought up, you know, "Whitney's told me everything. The waitress, the publicist, the hot tub." You know, he's bringing up all of these things that are not about the, you know, accidental murder of Scotty. So, I don't know. You know, yes, you're absolutely right that Whitney does not know the full truth, and none of them do. But, I don't know. It's a good point, though.
Well, Michelle, there's an antidote to this poisonous Noah-Whitney father-daughter relationship.
What's that?
And it's the Tennessee Whiskey video. That video
was
I sent you.
Good. Oh my gosh. Yes.
I'll put a link in the show notes so people can watch it. But there's a video, people, with this girl that is so proud of her dad. They're in a truck. They're in like a pickup truck. And she wants him to sing a song that she can record for YouTube. And so there's three things about this video, Michelle, that are just fascinating to me. Number one, he's got a great voice. It's a great version of him doing that song.
Incredible. Absolutely.
And the girl is like Miss America quality beautiful. This girl's what, 14, 13, 14 years old? Not very old. Not well, like even right. Barely a teenager, I don't think. And she's just smiling, and she is. And the third thing is her pride in him. Like, she doesn't want to be embarrassed by him. Like, "Oh, Dad, shut up. I'm not, shut up. I don't want to hear you sing." She's proud of him. And she wants to be in the video with him. She takes that video and she includes herself in the video. And she wants to broadcast that, like, to everyone in the world to see her with her dad. She's so proud of her dad.
Yeah, she knows how special he is, and he is, and she knows it, and she recognizes it, and she wants to share it. It was so touching. First of all, it was great, and it brought up so many thoughts, you know, about what about all these people, Mike, that have this, you know, these more common like jobs and stuff like that, and there's like all this hidden talent, right? And I was just like
the
amazed,
finest
like,
line there is, the line between greatness and popular pop stardom and normal people with just talent. It's a micro line. it's a luck. It's a, you know, you got into the right contest, or some producer saw you, or you walked past the right person in the record store. It's just so fine of a line. And this guy could be a country music star.
Oh, absolutely. And it was so moving. I mean, I loved it. I loved it. That's probably one of my favorite things that you've ever sent me like
that.
But it's a
complicated video because it's so many things together make it a great video. Like I said, the daughter isn't just like some, you know, regular old, she's like gorgeous. I don't know why that's important to me, but that kind of is. And then the fact that they're in the pickup truck, it wasn't like, okay, dad, I got the recording studio all perfect, let's make this and get this video perfect. She's using her phone. You can see her hand like turn on the music on the radio in the truck. It's like the camera moves around a little bit. It's very imperfect. But that makes it perfect, that it's so unplanned. And then it just sounds so sweet. And watching her watch him, and she kind of sings along, and just the pride in her face of her dad. I also looked, Michelle, that's her only YouTube video. That's her
really?
First and only. So that's like, hey, I want to try something for YouTube, and this is what it's going to be. Anyway.
I just wish everything great for them. I really hope something comes of that.
It already is. You don't have to wish for more for those two. I mean, that's they have perfection. He doesn't need to be a star anywhere. He's got everything he needs right there. All right, so back to our real fake TV show. Helen crashes, falls asleep next to Noah.
Yeah.
Lays down next to him.
Yeah, I mean, I was tired seeing her mourning, too. And we have to remember she got up in the middle of the night to go check on Noah at his dad's house. So I'm sure she was tired. And then all the chaos around her dealing with Vic and dealing with the parole officer and dealing with Whitney and dealing with Noah and all that.
She
and then,
can get up and walk up to her own bed, though. The laying down next to him and sleeping is not cool of Helen.
Oh, absolutely. No. No, but I do believe she was tired. That's all.
Well, of course she's tired, but so what? It's like she hears a little kid calling mom, and it's Trevor. And Vic comes home all taken care of, and Helen says, yup. Nope. I mean, why would you lie about that? It's so easily uncovered.
Yeah, I don't have any idea why she would do that. That makes no sense to me at all. You look at him and you go, complications, we'll talk about it later. But I mean, see, I keep doing this with her, and this bothers me with me, right? I keep making excuses about she should just say things are complicated. No, she shouldn't. She shouldn't say that, because things are not complicated. She wants him there. Nina tried to call her and she hung up the phone. So,
well, she could say to Vic, like, look, Vic, I'm having a hard time with this. It's hard for me to just throw him out. And I know it's probably the right thing. I mean, she could open up to Vic. But
right.
She doesn't.
Hey,
she
I'm
tries
sorry.
This.
I fell asleep first thing this morning. I didn't handle anything. And I was really tired. And I know I should have gotten more done. And I know I should have tried to find a way out, you know, of this. But I didn't do it. Right. She should definitely
have
done
something.
Well, there
are these juvenile lies, too. Like, you tell the lie, you're going to be uncovered in 20 seconds. It's like the kid with the chocolate chips smeared on his face. Did you eat the cookies? Nope.
Right.
You know.
Oh, I know. Like, Noah was going to be down there all night and not make a sound, and Vic wasn't going to go check that the doors were locked or the, you know, toilet wasn't running or whatever you might go check a basement for. I don't know. It was just stupid.
Toilet wasn't running. What kind of plumbing do you have? Anyway, they hear the zombie rumble in the basement, and Helen lies again. Oh, it's the plumbers. Maybe that was for Trevor.
That was for the kids, I think. Yeah.
But Vic just looks at her and says, I think I'm finished.
Yeah, and I think he was talking about a whole lot more than the spaghetti.
So Helen sends, Helen sends the kids to their rooms in the right in the middle of dinner.
I know. They didn't get to finish their food. I noticed there was like food left on the plates. And they're like, it's 8 o'clock.
Why doesn't she just go to her room and shut the door?
I don't know. I don't know why she had to have like the whole house cleared out for her to go upstairs with Vic. I guess she didn't want him coming down and maybe leaving in front of them or something. I don't know.
Vic packs to leave and Helen says, please don't. And Vic just says, well, you lied. I guess she did lie, but she didn't really say anything that she could cover up. There wasn't a long-term lie there, really. Like, did you take care of things? Yep. Well, that's going to be uncovered in a minute. You know, she didn't really lie. She was just...
Yeah, no, she lied. She lied. She lied. He said, you lied this morning. You lied, you know, about that you were going to get rid of him. You lied that you did get rid of him. You lied to the kids. You know, he's like, I'm not going to, you know, I can't.
You know, but it's not really a lie. A lie is something you try to cover up. It's her inability. Vic's accusation should really be like, Helen, you really can't get past this. That's the problem. Not that you're lying.
Well, he kind of says that. But she is lying, Mike. She is lying. She's lying to herself and she's lying to him, right? About why Noah's there. And he knows that. I don't blame Vic here at all. Vic is completely blameless to me.
Well, Vic gets stabbed by his own cactus.
Okay, that was such strong symbolism. I just thought that was first of all, who would grab a cactus that way? That shows how upset Vic was. And it was just like everything in that house kind of hurt him, you know, because you think, Helen hurt
well,
him.
Well, that's the cactus, hurt him. Though. He brought that cactus with him wherever he freaking came from.
He did. He did. He got the cactus.
Do you think the cactus is Sarah Treem's message somehow of what representative of Vic? Symbolic of Vic to Helen. Like she can't really get close to him. She can't really warm up to him because he's not, you know, cactusy.
That's a good point. Maybe. Maybe so.
Well, all this happening, Michelle, this is the best thing for them. Vic says you still love him. So he's zeroed in on the truth here. She does still love him, so she can't let him go. And Vic
She says no.
Vic probably goes right to the whiskey bar.
Right before his surgery. But then he says, then why can't you just let him go? And she won't say anything. She doesn't respond to that. Now, why didn't she respond to that?
Letting him go?
Yeah, Vic says, then why can't... Because he asked her, he turns around at the door. You know, this was, I thought, their... Maybe, perhaps, their moment to fix this, right? He asks, are you still in love with him? And she says, no. And he says, then why can't you just let him go? And she didn't say a word.
I remember him making a statement, you still love him, not a question.
He did, I think, in the room. But she said no. And then down at the door, he asked her if she's still in love with him. He goes, are you still in love with him? And she says, no. And he says, then why can't you let him go? And there's just silence. And that's when he says, well, I'm going to miss the kids.
I'm going right to the whiskey bar.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there were also some references to Jane Eyre in this, Michelle. Was it this scene or was it the next one in the next morning, the breakfast or whatever, when the kids are talking about Jane Eyre?
It was when Trevor had gotten home from school and Helen was making the pasta in both of them, I think.
Yeah, because in Jane Eyre, the wife stashes the husband in the attic. Or the husband stashes the wife up in the attic and she's stashing Noah down in the basement.
Right. And Trevor was actually talking about that when they heard the crash and downstairs. And somebody said, what's that? And Trevor said it's whoever the character was. I'm not real familiar with it. And that's when Helen sits there just like with this shocked look on her face, because we know Noah is so compliant to be quiet and everything. And that's when she says it's the plumbers.
There's no need for sarcasm, Michelle.
I know. That's what I just thought. That was very ugly, wasn't it? But Vic calling Helen out on lying to the kids, that's the one thing I did not agree with him on.
Well, Noah wakes up, asks what all the commotion's about, and asks who Vic is. Who's Vic?
No, he didn't say who's Vic, did he?
I think so.
No, he said who, Vic? He asks, he comes up and he's like, who left or something? And she's like, Vic left. I don't know the exact wording of that, but
no, I think it's his drug induced, his addled state. I think he says, who's Vic? This wasn't because of me, was it? He's just so out of it that he doesn't know, even remember who the hell Vic is.
Okay, well, I didn't see that. I didn't catch that. I thought he was just asking, you know, who left, because he thought, you know, in Noah's mind, we find out later it was Gunther leaving, the slamming of the door. But I don't know.
Well, Helen says, why are you destroying yourself? Prison beatings, pills, parole violation. Just stop. I forgive you. And this is where she tries to say, I forgive you.
Yeah. And he's confused by that. And I am too.
Yeah. You forgive me?
That's kind of what he said, you know?
That is what he said. It's like, you forgive me? You got that right. Backwards, baby. And she says, what if we could start over? And this is all so twisted of Helen. You can't start over.
I don't know.
Then she sexes him up with her wine glass in hand, and Noah stops somewhere in the middle of it. Why do you think Noah stopped?
You know, I don't know. I don't. In her version, you know, she asks what, and he's like, what? And that's all we know. And I have no idea what was going on with that. But I did make a note that, you know, they've shown her with Max on more than one occasion, and her face when she is being intimate with Max is this like kind of detached, looking around, kind of why am I here look. And it was a completely different face. And I wondered if you noticed the difference in her face with Noah than her face with Max. They haven't shown her face, I don't remember, with Vic. Yeah, maybe, but in a different context.
Well,
but
I'm going to tell you why Noah stops. You're not going to like the answer.
Tell me.
He's not into her.
You think?
Yeah, he's like, he loves the care of like, oh, refuge. I can stay someplace warm and safe. And now I'm making love. Oh, it sounds like a good idea. But, you know, I just remembered I'm not that into you anymore. So he stops. Okay. He's not that into it with her.
Well, but that's not. You have to remember, this is Helen's story. Noah's story was much more dark.
I don't care. I think that's her interpretation that he's, okay, you know, he stopped.
Okay.
Why Maybe. Do you think he stopped?
I don't have any idea. I mean, I couldn't begin to guess with Noah. Maybe he pictures himself with Gunther. Who knows? Who knows what's going
picture
through
himself
his...
with Gunther.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what Noah's thinking? He's not okay. He's not mentally okay. So I couldn't begin to picture what's going through Noah's mind. I wouldn't begin to guess that, because it could be anything.
Well, Helen's cuter than Gunther.
Helen's very cute.
All right, part two.
I still like Helen.
Helen's cuter in part two. Part two is Noah. Noah's much less pitiful in this version.
Oh, yeah, he's just like...
It's his version of him portraying himself.
Yeah, he's awake and alert, and his eyes are clear, and he's not glassy-eyed, and he's not, you know, slurring his words or anything. He's just like, okay, in his version.
So,
and I just want to go, well, then why in the heck were you in the water seeing yourself?
So in this version, he portrays himself as the victim of other people's doings, like not his fault. So Helen's driving him home again. He directs her right to Gunther's store.
Yep.
And he goes in and meets the old lady at the counter, asks her to help him, or she asks to help him, and Noah looks around. He He's looking at knives and guns. Michelle, which would you buy, a knife or a gun?
Well, they're in New York, right? So, I don't know.
Well, he could have had his choice.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I was worried. I had no idea what he was going to do. I mean, the guy just saw himself as a child, literally saw himself and went into the water, literally, like right now. It just happened. I was worried for the lady behind the counter, which you know who that was, right?
Yeah, it's Gunther's mother.
Yeah, but it's the lady from that they killed in The Americans. The lady who was at the robot computer shop. Yeah.
Well, so, it wasn't really her. That was a different actress in a different role.
I think
it's not
was
like
her.
That was her first job. She moved to Washington to get a robot job. All right, but this is interesting because this is Noah's version of him being the badass male. Like, none of this shit's my fault. Other people's doing this shit to me. And then he's the tough guy. Take me right to Gunther's store. I need to settle this. Right? And the old lady, like, Noah's just walking around, prancing around. And Noah gets a knife and he kind of leads the mother through this series of questions that gives him all this info.
Oh, yeah.
We learn that she hasn't seen Gunther in a while. But he finds out where he lives. He's got a wife. And she's going to tell him that Noah stopped by. And Noah doesn't even hesitate. Like, great. You tell him I'm doing fine.
Right. And that freaked me out, right? When she said that, I wasn't thinking about her having his credit card or knowing his name or anything. And then when she said, well, I'll be sure to tell him that Noah saw the way, ask about him. And I was like, you know, and then he's like, you do that. Yeah, and you know, part of you goes, yeah. You know, part of you goes, well, that's not going to end well, perhaps, but I don't know.
Yeah, they could double charge that credit card. All right, back in the car. Noah's out of pills, Michelle. Helen's nagging him. Seatbelt's bothering him. The shoulder is going to the doctor's. He's all defeated by all this shit.
I mean, come on, though. She's telling him to put his seatbelt on. She's like, put your seatbelt on. Like, I'm not going to drive. And, of course, you should put your seatbelt on. But he is a grown-up. You know, and she's, I mean, I don't know. I do not like Helen as seen through Noah's eyes. I know feel different.
I just think the message of this second half of the episode is Noah's version of the world picking on him. Everybody's fucking picking on me. And my shoulder hurts and I got to put my seatbelt on now and I don't want to go to the doctor. It's different from the way Helen views him. It's just him being the victim.
And he was really, really like making a scene over his shoulder in his version. In her version, you know, she's like, are you really in pain? Kind of because he was sitting there and not doing that. In his version, he's like, and grabbing himself and all this, you know. But that, we didn't see that so much in Helen's version of it. So he's definitely showing us that he's feeling this shoulder pain. And we did find out that his shoulder was broken in three places. So that's serious.
So he dreams of prison and wakes up in his Brooklyn apartment in Helen's bed or Vic's bed, whatever that basement bed is. Helen comes in and he says he's leaving. And this is where I said Helen's beautiful. I think she really is beautiful, even though she's kind of severe, but she has her hair pulled back and she's in black. She's in charge. She's kind of like, she's not the whimpering little, oh, please come back to me. She's in charge of stuff.
Okay.
That makes her appealing, I think. That makes her attractive. Vic is there, and it's no nonsense to check him out. Apparently, he's just following Helen's directions.
Yeah, Vic's very cold.
He's very cold, but he's also just kind of doing what Helen tells him to do. Like, it's in the first one, she's like, would you mind checking him out? And in this one, she's like in charge.
Yeah, but it's silly, you know. She hasn't even seen Noah, right? And she wants Vic to look at his neck, and she's sure it's infected because Noah hasn't been taking care of it, and he went in that filthy water. I mean, she didn't know anything. She didn't know that. She didn't know what kind of care he's been taking of his neck. I don't know. It was just really weird. And this, you know, hair pulled back severely. And, you know, it was just completely different. I got a completely different vibe.
Well, you're supposed to. I mean, the point is that Noah.
Than you.
Oh, than me.
Yeah, I got a completely different. There's nothing attractive about her in this.
Oh, she's way more attractive than when she's the wet noodle beaten upon.
So funny.
Bedraggled woman.
Okay, any guys that are listening to this, please tell me if you all feel the same way.
Please tell me.
No, I'm serious. And females, let me know. I want to know if this is a guy-girl thing, because now having, you know, two Mikes tell me the same thing, I'm really curious if I'm the only one who saw it differently. I thought Helen was awful in Vic's version of her. I thought she was... There was nothing attractive about her until the end when she had the shoulder, you know, the sweater off the shoulder. She was definitely, I can definitely see the allure of that. But until that part, I just thought it was awful.
No, it's the having your shit together making you attractive feature, not the sexy bare shoulder.
Okay.
That was part of it. I mean, that was like the cherry on top. But the main part was her being having her shit together.
Okay.
All right, I high-five Mike through Skype.
Okay.
Did Mike like the Tennessee whiskey video?
I don't think I showed it to him. I got to do that.
Okay.
I'll definitely do that, yeah.
All right, Noah still wants more pills, Michelle. Vic says 10 a day is a disaster. And then Noah asks if infections can cause hallucinations. Can they, Michelle?
Yeah, I would think that complications from an infection, like a high fever or something like that, would be my guess. But I don't know about just an infection. But I would think, if your fever gets high, I would imagine that probably
could.
Well,
you're a nurse. What the hell?
Nurse,
do I have an infection? You just said, I don't know.
Well, I mean, nurses don't diagnose, so.
All right. I might go to a different hospital. All right, Vic threatens him to leave. Get your prescription. Get out of here. Get your prescription and leave. Your wound is infected.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, I'll write you the prescription. You just get out of here. Or I'll call the police and have you put back in prison. And then Noah's like, wait, man, wait. If you're worried about me and Helen, you know, that's where... Vic's like, you know, you're infected and addicted to opioids. I'm not worried. It's like, okay.
Yeah, he's the Vic. I mean, that's, I don't know. He's portraying himself, like I said, as the victim. Like, oh, the doctor doesn't even want to doctor me. He's like, just tell me to leave. Poor me.
Well, right.
So Helen brings him old kids medicine with codeine and Advil and Ambien and whatever.
Old kids medicine.
Well, isn't it
Martin's
old medicine or something?
Yeah, from when he hurt his ankle, she said.
And she makes him stay.
Oh, I know. Yeah, he's like up and ready to go.
She makes him talk in exchange for more pills. Makes him a deal.
That's what I'm talking about. See, that is really disturbing to me. That is like sincerely like wrong.
Because Noah remembers it that way, or because that's what she might have really done?
Because, well, I'm just saying, seeing it happen that way, whether it's just Noah's version or what, I'm a Helen fan. So I like to think that Helen would not do that. But for someone to try to get what they want from a drug addict by shaking the bottle of pills at them, and, you know, dishing them out like one at a time. Damn, that is some rough stuff to me. I mean, that is like really bad to do that.
It's effective though. It worked. So the phone rings again. It's Santos again calling. Noah tells her it's Santos. And Noah just says, I'm on my own. No one cares. He's the victim.
Oh,
and
this I know.
Cements it in stone that he's viewing the world as the oppressor of him.
Right. And he's like, you know, almost in tears and everything. But this is where she tells him, she says, you can tell me the truth. She wants his truth, according to him anyway. And I think she did even according to her. you know, Nina's put this little nugget in her mind of what his truth is, who he really is, and she wants it.
Maybe. I don't know if that's in Helen's mind yet. Do you think it is?
Yeah. Yeah. Nina just told her, you don't even know him. You don't know him. You know, how could you be so blind? How could you not know what went on between him and his father?
I know she doesn't know, but to put a finer point on it, do you think Helen suspects that he killed his mother and not?
No. No, yeah. I don't think she's connected any dots like that. But I think she wants to know his truth. I think she wants to know him. I think Helen hates, worse than she hates not having her family, I think she hates the fact that she feels like maybe she never knew him. I think that is like what tore her up last time and caused her to run to Max's arms.
Well, that's a great point. That's a point I never considered. Like, you don't know me.
Yeah, well, and that's how this ends, you know, with him saying that.
And Noah dreams of prison again with Gunther at his cell door, drunk, teasing him with a hamburger.
That is so awful.
Do you think that was real, or do you think that was exaggerated by Noah?
No, I think he was dreaming about something that had happened.
So you think he perceives Gunther in a real way and other things exaggerated?
I think I just get the feeling that his dreams are real. That he's dreaming about what has actually happened, and they're not exaggerations on stuff. That was really bad, and we saw Gunther break him in that scene. And evidently they've got him in the hole without water in this dream.
Yeah, he's teasing him with the hamburger, then he realizes, Noah just says, look, I just want some water. He doesn't even have water turned on in the cell.
Right.
So Gunther comes into the cell and asks him about his case, and Noah lets Gunther just believe whatever he wants to believe.
Well, yeah, but Gunther goes into the affair, which I thought was interesting, right? That was really, really interesting, because Gunther talks about his affair, and he's like, why? You know, you made it out of the small town we grew up in. You went to a good college. You married a hot woman and, you know, and she had money. And he's going into all this stuff. And he goes, I'd kill to have that for one day.
And but I think that's reflective of life. No matter what we have, we always want a little bit more. Like, Noah did have the world at his fingertips. He had it all. And why do you need an affair? And you had a beautiful family and you're happy with your job, and I'm stuck here in a freaking prison like a slob. I mean, that's life. People, millionaires want more. You know, they find ways to be unhappy because they don't have the next level up.
So what do you think? I mean, why do you think? Is that, I don't know.
I think it's a great piece of writing. I think it's a great reflection of real life, that no matter where we are in life, happiness is being happy with what you have, right? Not wanting more and achieving it. It's being happy with what you have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's the whole thing of what started this spiral to begin with. Because, you know, Noah could have written his book and been with Helen. He was writing, remember, when in season one, I think episode one, he was writing. And of course, he didn't have the life experience of Allison to write about, but, or at least to draw upon, but
you got to have the new girl when you write the book.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
So, so Gunther says, you had an affair. Why? I'd kill to have what you have had. Even for one day, now you're worse off than me, aren't you? Admit it. Like, make his pleasure is making him admit that you're worse off even than me, that slobby prison guard. And he pulls on Noah's arm. And Noah fights back. Noah says, look, bastard, in 6 months I'm out of here and you're stuck here for life.
Yep.
And he fights back and gets 90 days in solitary.
He didn't even fight back. Gunther threw him to the ground, and then Noah, you know, grabbed onto his leg. That's all he did. And Gunther's like, that's assault. Another 90 days in the hole.
Yeah, but you know what happened? Whatever the guard says, what happened?
we're all, and it, but it actually is assault, I think, like legally, to touch somebody without their permission in a, you know, an aggressive.
It doesn't matter if Noah beat the hell out of him or touched his ankle, though. It's whatever he says.
Good point.
That's what makes it so freaking terrifying. It's like you can't, you have no control of anything, even the truth. So Noah wakes up back in real life and sees Furcat. And Furcat blocks him from going to see Whitney and says, I'm her lover boss. I'm her boss, her lover boss.
Can you imagine that, Mike?
I'd murder the guy.
I mean, can you just possibly imagine that? That is just like, that's
I'd
just
strangle him right there on the sidewalk. So Furcat argues with him about all the things you said before, the women, the waitress, the publicist in the hot tub, Whitney in the hot tub, and then punches him. Pretty good punch for a guy named Furcat.
That wasn't a bad punch, yeah. Let me just say this. That hot tub thing was disturbing, of course, but that was not Noah's fault. It's not like he went there because he knew that was Whitney. It's not like he was seeking that out. It was, he didn't know it was her, right?
I know. But it is true. I mean, you can bend that truth to make it sound worse than it really was, but it is a father acting irresponsibly in such a way that he ends up in a hot tub at a party with his daughter.
Absolutely, but it's the daughter acting just as irresponsibly, which of course you can do because you're younger. I mean, you can get away with that more, or at least people view it differently. But to try to turn it into something other than just accidental as far as the father-daughter thing, I think is really bad.
Well,
because that's
Whitney
not what
probably
happened.
Turned that into that to Furcat.
Well, yeah, because Furcat was saying, what's wrong with you? The hot tub, what's wrong with you?
You wanted to be in a hot tub with your daughter and a bunch of other women? You crazy kook.
But that was, we know that's not what happened. That freaked Noah out as much as it freaked Whitney out.
So Noah wakes up in the dark. His knife is missing. He hallucinates Gunther having it. And Noah talks to, I guess, the ghost Gunther, the dream Gunther. Just tell me what you want. Gunther says, I think you know you bought a knife from my poor mother after her robot factory experience.
Yeah, after she'd been through all that. Already and been killed once.
They wrestle. Gunther gets cut and he leaves. And Noah sees Helen outside the door and she says it was Vic who just left, not Gunther.
Right.
And Helen says, you seem confused. You need a drink. Here's the seductress, devil, temptress mode. You need a drink is not the thing to say to a guy who's a drug inflicted victim.
No.
Patient. You need a drink?
No. I know. I mean, she's like pliant. I mean, she's giving him Vicodin and she, you know, opens up the bottle. Oh, here's some Augmentin, which is an antibiotic. And here's some Vicodin. And she, you know, shakes. Oh, and look what else I got. I got some Vicodin. Here, have it with some wine. Really? It's awful.
She says, Vic has left me for good because of you. And Helen, you know, just kind of teases him and taunts him. Vic doesn't belong here, big boy. You belong here. I'm the only one who can help you. She doesn't say big boy, but Vic doesn't belong here. You belong here. I'm the only one who can help you.
It's implied.
She suggests and gives him more pills and she forgives him, tempts him, teases him, tells him he deserves things and deserves forgiveness and sexes him all up, and then she stops it in this version.
Well, she tries.
And she says, I know you, I know you, I know you. So what's up with that, Michelle? Why in the temptress version of, what's the female version of I know you, I know you, I know you?
Well, see, I think that's kind of what I was trying to articulate before, not doing a good job. I think that Helen, that's what she wants. Otherwise, her marriage and all those years are like wasted to her.
No, but this is a shiny bauble that she's trying to tempt Noah with. I know you. Like this is good for you. I know you. This, you want this. I know you.
See, I maybe, but I didn't take it like that. I took it like a self affirmation. you know,
no,
maybe
it's
try
in the context of everything else. I'm dressed sexy. I'm giving you pills. I'm giving you wine. You need a drink. I'm the one who can help you. And I know you. This is good. This is a benefit to you, Noah.
Okay. Well, that's also great. All great points. So maybe it was because, remember what her dad said to her? That Margaret was the only one who really knew him. And that's what won him back.
Right. That's my point. That's a valuable thing to Noah.
That's interesting.
That was what was valuable to Helen's dad for Margaret.
Right.
You know me, and that's valuable to me.
Right. Well, sure. I mean, to be known by somebody, to be known and loved by somebody. When somebody knows the real you and they love you, that's pretty big. That's a big thing.
Yeah.
Because, so, you know. No, go ahead.
That's what I'm saying. It's a benefit to Noah, not to Helen. It's not an affirmation. It's a list of inventory of things that are beneficial to Noah.
That does make more sense. Yeah.
But Noah refutes it. He says, "You don't know me." And then he gets rough with her with sex. And she turns away and cries. So.
Yeah, that was I didn't like watching that. I only watched that scene one time.
Yeah, that's a pretty brutal rejection.
Do you think she was crying because he hurt her feelings? Or do you think she was crying because he hurt her?
What's the difference?
Well, there is some difference.
Physically hurt her, you mean?
Yeah.
No, he hurt her feelings.
Well, I mean, she was telling him that's enough, stop, or something to that effect. The first time, I mean, I watched it one time, literally my mouth was hanging open. I was like, I did not like seeing that. And.
Well, I think you don't know me, and then he continues to have rough sex with her. That's like, you rejected me, and now you're just using me to get off. That's emotional. That's not physical.
Okay.
I think, anyway.
Okay.
You don't know me, you don't care about me. Or he says, "You don't know me," which is rejecting her, but he's not done having sex yet, which is pretty, I don't know, it's pretty hard to take, I think.
Yeah, that was, it was painful to watch. And when she's crying, he even reaches for her, and she shrugs him off. And then he's got that same panicked look as he's staring up at the ceiling as it goes off. It's like this, I don't know, kind of terrorized look. That look is great. That's the look he gave when he was, you know, reaching for himself, when he saw himself and Helen comes up and he turns around and looks back at her. And now we've seen it twice. I completely forget that it's McNulty when he's doing.
Yeah, you're impressed with that. I'm not so impressed with that. Like, he's
okay.
Oh my God, I'm shocked that you saw me in the swamp. And now, oh my God, I'm by myself. And even though I'm making love to you.
It's like a... No. Well, let me just clarify. I don't think that it's about that. I feel like it's this inner turmoil that he has for whatever reason. I think that it's like a fear. It's like a terror. And I think it shows in his eyes well. I just think it's a great.
Yeah, that's how I thought you thought it was. It's like a holy shit. Like, wow, I'm afraid. Like, this is the worst terrifying thing.
Right.
I don't know. Well, the camera pans up and away from him. He's distraught and not knowing what. I mean, I guess Helen's distraught. They're not knowing what he will do next. It kind of ends with, like, what's going to happen next?
That's what I want to know. And we're not going to see it. It doesn't look like next week.
Why?
Well, next week, Helen goes, or it looks like Helen goes to Allison. And Allison wants to tell Helen about the night Scotty died. And Helen tries to stop her. And that's all we see. I don't know if Helen actually hears. Helen, I think when Helen hears, because you see them say those words, and then you see Allison pushed Scotty in front of the car. So we're going to have to assume that Helen, or that Allison, does actually tell Helen about this. And Helen is not going to. She has suffered with the guilt of Noah went to prison. He broke his shoulder. Everything that's bad that's happened to Noah, except for the affair, is because of me. And he has suffered because of me. And I think she's going to find out that that's not the case. And it's so early in this season, you know, for that to happen. I don't know where they're going to go with that. So, but I think that's great. I'm really excited to see it. And we see Allison saying to Cole that they keep coming back to each other, and doesn't that mean something? And then we see Oscar asking Cole if he's hooking up with Allison again. And then he goes, you know, what is wrong with you? And someone telling Allison, there's a cop or somebody at the door telling Allison that the New Jersey cops are back in Montauk questioning Cole. So that's what we're going to see.
Allison and Cole seem like a sideshow. Like the real story is Noah and Helen. But I guess they could make Allison and Cole and Louisa the main show again if they just focus on them. There are like two parallel stories now.
Yeah, but this has definitely been Noah's season. It's almost like the show is about Noah now. I completely agree. And of course, Helen or Allison or whoever is with Noah. I agree that Cole almost feels like a sideshow at this point.
Do you think Gunther... All we know for sure of Gunther is that he was mean to him in prison. There's really no proof that he was ever after Noah outside of prison at all.
No, I don't think he probably was. Because, you know, this is where Noah asks his mom, does he ever get up here? And she's like, I wish. You know, I mean, I think Noah was asking his mom that to find out if Gunther's ever in the area. So maybe he would, you know, bump into him or whatever. And his mom was like, no.
Well, Gunther wouldn't go torment Noah and then go see his mom.
Well, he might.
All right, Mama, I got to go. I got to torment a guy that was in jail with me. No, I think it's kind of open, but I think it's more, it's like 90% hallucinatory or hallucinations than real. Because there's really no proof at all that Gunther was ever anywhere except for in jail.
Yeah, I think Gunther has, well, and, you know, Gunther kind of made that statement in this episode about when Noah said, in 6 months, I'm going to be out of here and you're going to spend the rest of your life here. And Gunther said something to the effect of, I didn't write it down, but something to the effect of, I'll make sure you remember me or something like that.
Well, he says like, you'll never get out of here.
Or never get away from me or something. It was something personal. So Okay. And Noah was really surprised that Gunther had a wife. What's that all about?
Well, the guy's, I mean, aren't you a little surprised he has a wife?
Yeah, I am. But I don't know. I kind of took that as, do you think that Gunther does something, you know, like sexually with him or something like that?
I think Gunther might do something sexual to him to torment him. I don't think Gunther is interested in him sexually. I think he's interested in just like punishing him.
But why?
Because he's a loser asshole.
That's a bad situation.
Why would you eat a hamburger in front of somebody who's starving in prison and turn their water off?
It's
and
really
break
bad.
Their shoulder. And then pull on it after it's broken. I mean, he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's beyond that. He's like this, you know, sadist, fixated sadist or something.
All right, Michelle, well, that's it for 307. The affair was renewed for season 4, by the way, too.
Oh, I know. And I had people telling me on Twitter and everything. It was so cool. I'm so excited. So I guess Sarah Treem gets her 4th season, huh?
And as she said in her interview, that's the final season. So we'll see if that comes to play out that way. But it's okay. Good that they have at least the 4th season to do what she wants to do one more season.
Absolutely. We got to find something new, Mike.
There's nothing new.
We got to do something different. Fargo. Are we just going to let all... I know, but Fargo is... I don't mean something else. I mean, I know we've got other things to do, but we haven't started anything new in a really long time, like
I know,
years.
Jamie's saying that, too.
Is she?
Scoot McNary's going to be on Fargo. So our podcast shows are sticking together, Michelle, our Halt and Catch Fire.
That's pretty fun. I like that.
And Fargo's going to be 2010, so it's catching up to the real time, real future.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's neat.
Yeah, yeah. So they went 1 year, then they went 30 years back, and now they're almost caught up to real time.
Is it going to be related in any way?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
They said some of the people were going to be the same.
That's pretty fun.
But I don't know who. Maybe Ted Danson? I mean, who's alive? It's hard to remember who's still alive.
I've been watching Black Mirror. I think I finished it last night. That is some, I don't know how that show got past me. It's like what, 7, 6 years old? The first season? That was such, brought it to my attention. Such a, oh my gosh, really hard to podcast because the characters change every single episode, but you want to talk about like delving into your psyche and stuff. And it was so dark, man. I thought it was so incredibly, incredibly good. I just loved it.
Yeah, it's very dystopian. Actually, Jamie turned me. I started watching it, and then Jamie said you should watch it. And I got back in and rewatched it. You watched all of it, all the way through season 3.
Every bit of it. Yeah, yeah. We had a really cold kind of cold snap here, and the temperature's really cold. We got a little bit of snow and stuff, so everybody was kind of snuggled in the house for a few days, and just a couple days, but we really got an opportunity to watch a bunch of TV, and it was just like, I mean, one after the other, you think, this can't get any better, and that one with Don Draper in it, you were right, that was the best one out of all, and there's some good ones, but that was just like,
yeah, amazing. White Christmas. That was a good one. It kind of petered out at the end of that episode. I like the beginning of it where he was directing the guy by remote control how to talk to the girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we won't spoil it. But that was great. That was cool how they did that. All right, Michelle.
That's just a great series.
308's next week. We'll talk then, and we're in 2017. Who knows what's next? I don't know what's next after Fargo.
I don't know. We got to find something new, something that's coming out that's new. When is Game of Thrones coming back on? Do you know?
Probably in late spring.
Is it? I got to catch up with everything.
All right, Michelle, stay out of trouble till 3:08.
I'll do
Michelle
my best.
Michelle from TN, at Scathing Tweets, at Michelle from TN. Send us your messages.
Love to hear them. Love to hear your take on this one particularly.
And you can tell us next week what coffee Jennifer Esposito likes, Michelle.
Okay, Jennifer, if you can just let me know so I'm not just, you know,
left. Well, you'll know when she sits across from you and orders it.
That would be great. Great.
All right, Michelle. And watch that video. Watch that Tennessee whiskey video, people. I'll put it on the show notes.
Absolutely.
Michelle's home state. Have you heard that song before, Michelle?
Yeah, I've heard the song, but I, you know, that twist on it was incredible.
All right, well, see you next week on 308.
Okay, see you then.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Used to spend my nights out in the ballroom. Liquor was the only love. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottle. Brought me back from being too far gone.
to get me high.
My.